Well, as many of you know, we are in a new series called The Spirituality of Imperfection. And our goal is to figure out what are the marks of life-giving spirituality as distinct from what we might call mere religion. And this morning, I want to think a little bit about how true spirituality points us beyond the ordinary. It points us beyond what we can see, beyond what we can possess and control. Indeed, it points us to something beyond our understanding. And I want to start by reminding us that both in the Greek and the Hebrew, the word spirit can be translated as breath or wind. And this reminds us that spiritual reality is not something that we can put under a microscope and analyze. Rather, it's something that we participate in, something that we intuit, something that we feel. It's beyond our visual grasp, but it's experienced as a presence. And Christians understand this to be the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God that gives life to everything. The Spirit of God that moves among us in mysterious ways, grounding, encouraging, convicting, luring us toward God's ideals. The Spirit of God that saturates reality as the energy in which we live, move, breathe, and have our being. And as the presence of God, spiritual reality is a wellspring of gifts. Great gifts like love, peace, joy, and hope. Things that give real value and meaning and depth to life as we know it. Spiritual reality is not obvious. It is subtle, quiet, non-imposing. It often comes forth as a still, small voice. It resides below the surface of material reality, so if you're not attentive, it's easy to miss. Indeed, some people live their entire lives on the surface, deaf, blind, and dumb to the spiritual world, missing all of the gifts that it has to offer. So if we don't want to miss these gifts, then we have to try to figure out what kinds of things will block our access to spiritual reality. And the first that I want to present this morning is materialism. Now, typically, when you hear the word materialism, you think about people who really love money, and they think that it's all about earning money and buying a lot of really cool things. You hear about people being materialistic, but that's not the way that I'm wanting to think of it this morning. Rather, I want to consider materialism as a philosophy that reduces all reality to material reality and denies in advance the very possibility of anything more, anything beyond the material world. These folks are not open to the possibility of something deeper. And so you might be talking to someone like this about how God gave you wisdom in a particular situation. And they'll try to explain it away with a material cause by saying something like, well, that's just your brain that's synthesizing all of your past experiences in order to give you the best future outcome. And this is just how it is with survival of the fittest. You've adapted in such a way that you can gain insights if you put your brain to good use. Or if you say something like, you know, God brought this person into my life at just the right time when I needed them the most. A materialist would say, well, that's just a coincidence. And your brain went to work assigning it a special meaning that's not really there. And so, if you are closed off to spiritual reality by assuming without any evidence against or for that it's not possible for there to be something more than the material world, then how can we expect to notice, experiences that are spiritual. A second thing that will block access to the spiritual world is not just saying there's nothing beyond what we can see and touch and taste and smell and feel, but also what many of the early Christian desert fathers called attachment. If we get too attached to things in the material world, we can become numb and blind to spiritual things. And this is not to say that the material world is bad. It's not. In fact, when we read about the story of creation, as God creates the world, he says repeatedly, "And it was good." And it is good. God says that the material world is good. And the same is true of material possessions. It's not bad to own nice things. However, we must be mindful of our relationship to our possessions and how we use them. If we get attached to our possessions, they come to possess us. The more we have, the more we want, and the more we want, the more our possessions come to enslave us. This is the nature of attachment. It's expecting created goods to satisfy spiritual longings. It's an inordinate love for our stuff, which can cause us to be obsessed with our possessions. And so consumers get consumed with getting and keeping and protecting their stuff, constantly adding to their hoard as opposed to sharing with others. And this obsession with possessions can make us blind to the spiritual world and make us selfish, greedy, and willful. And this is one very important reason why Jesus calls us to live a generous life and why the church creates opportunities for its people to tithe a percentage of its income. Because these practices of generosity lead to a life of generosity that will prevent our possessions from coming to possess us. And it's important to note that spiritual reality is not something that can be possessed or bought or sold or traded. Important spiritual goods like love, peace, joy, and wisdom are always gifts to be given by the hand of a generous and loving God and to be received by us in gratitude. And so, if we get too attached to our stuff, it can blind us to the spiritual reality that is always already there. And then finally, if we are preoccupied with ourselves, it can blind us from the spiritual reality all around us. And as you know, there are different ways of being self-focused. We can get stuck in the past, rehearsing countless wrongdoings, wrongdoings that have been done to us and wrongdoings that we have committed against others. And we can also be self-focused by getting preoccupied with an imagined future, worrying about all the different possibilities and being stuck, not knowing which way to go. And again, there's nothing wrong with reflecting on the past to learn from it. And there's nothing wrong with anticipating the future and trying to plan for the future by calculating the consequences of our actions. These things are very wise things to do. But if we get too attached to the past or the present at the expense of the present moment, then we will miss the spiritual reality which is right in front of us. And one of the common themes of the spiritual giants is that the only place where you can truly experience the spiritual world is in the present. Because human beings exist where? We exist in the present. But even here, there are dangers. Because we can be self-focused even in the present, either by immersion and busyness. We can be self-focused in the present with an unquenchable thirst for success, or by being overly consumed with what other people think about us. The point is that we cannot access the gifts of the spiritual world if we are preoccupied with ourselves, focused on ourselves. And Jesus knew this when he said, "If anyone wants to be one of my followers, they must deny themselves." This is also an important reason why Jesus calls us to a life of service. Because if we're serving others, we're not so preoccupied with ourselves. So, these are just a few things that can block our access to the gifts in the spiritual world. Materialism, attachment to our possessions, and a focus on ourselves. So, if there are things that can block our access to the spiritual world, the next question is, well, are there things that can open the door? And the answer to this question is yes. And that's where true spirituality can be helpful. You see, true spirituality helps us move beyond materialism by opening our hearts and minds to the possibility of something more. Can you say more? We want more. And true spirituality can heighten our awareness of the spiritual world that is all around us, but we fail to notice. So if we have a desire to go beyond what we can touch with our hands and see with our eyes, and if we are willing to surrender our will and our life over to the care of God, then the Holy Spirit can give us a new way of seeing, a new way of hearing. The Holy Spirit can give us spiritual senses. I want you to think of a baby in utero. They have eyes to see, but because they're living in darkness, they cannot fully see. Babies in utero have ears, but because they live in fluid, they don't fully hear. And this is the case with their other senses as well. Their senses, we would say, are latent. They're there, but they haven't been quickened. And it's not until a baby is born that their five senses are awakened and they begin to fully use them. And even as they begin to use their eyesight, they're still developing as they mature. And the founder of the United Methodist Church, John Wesley, said, "This is how human beings are in regards to the way that we access the spiritual." He says that as those who are created in the image of God, all of us have latent spiritual senses, spiritual ways of seeing and hearing and feeling, and that these senses are quickened when we are, note the metaphor, born again according to the Spirit of God. For Christians, these senses come alive. They are quickened when we make a decision to follow the way of Jesus and when we start to completely trust His Spirit to guide us and strengthen us along the path of discipleship. And so, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can move beyond materialism and have, as a gift from God, a vast expansion in our awareness of spiritual reality. And we can begin to hear and see and feel things that previously we could not, but were always there. Now, in just a moment, not quite yet, Jenny, but in just a moment, I'm going to ask Jenny to play a video. And this video is called an awareness test. And here is what you need to do. Is everybody listening? Because if we got to follow the directions to get the right answer. What you're going to do is you're going to focus on the team, the basketball team, in the white jerseys, okay? And you're going to try to count the number of times that they pass the ball. Now, there's going to be a lot of movement, so you're going to have to really concentrate on the ones that are wearing white in order to count the number of passes. There's not very many people who get the number right. And so I want to see if you can get the number of passes right this morning. And so, Jenny, if you'll go ahead and play the video.
This is an awareness test. How many passes does the team in white make?
Go!
The answer is 13. But did you see the moonwalking bear?
So in this video, what we see is that oftentimes, because we are focused on the material world, the spiritual world can be right there in front of our face. But because we're not looking for it, we completely miss it. Now, I'm not sure. The video works very well when it's on your computer screen. I'm not sure when it's blown up if it makes the bear more obvious. And I'm sure there are some of you that say, well, I saw the bear right away. Good for you. Right? That's not the point. The idea is that oftentimes there's something right in front of us that we don't see. And true spirituality opens our eyes to what has always been there, but what we have become blind and deaf and dumb to. I give another quick example. My mother used to get really, really angry at my dad for taking pictures of her when she didn't have her makeup on and was looking nice, right? And my dad thought it was always funny to take pictures. And so one day my mom was in the kitchen and he took a picture of her and she got really mad and said, Jerry, stop taking all those pictures of me, you know? I don't like it. And he had it developed. And that picture of my mom in the kitchen circulated for months until someone noticed something. There was a window behind my mother, and we noticed the reflection of my father in his underwear. It was right there, all the time, but we didn't see it. And so you see, this is a gift of true spirituality, that it helps us to see things that are right in front of our face. And so, in the power of the Holy Spirit, the material world, which was once opaque, becomes transparent to something deeper, something more valuable, something more profound. And so, like I said last Sunday, the goal is not to escape the material world, but to develop a spiritual way of seeing so that we can see material reality as translucent, as transparent, that we can see through it to something else, something more that's going on at a deeper level. Which brings us to the second gift of true spirituality. It helps move us from attachment to surrender. The driving force of attachment is a willful spirit. This is a spirit that must always be right, that insists on its own way, and it is characterized by selfishness, compulsiveness, and defensiveness. It says, I will do what I want, when I want, and I'm the only person I need to do it, so get out of my way. And this kind of person is almost always overly optimistic about their intelligence, willpower, and resourcefulness. They tend to think that they don't need help, much help from other people, especially not God. And they also tend to be fairly controlling. This orientation in life can be symbolized by things like grasping, taking, possessing, and hoarding. Again, it's a willful spirit. And as I've already mentioned, this way of being in the world has a way of shutting the door to spiritual reality, from crowding it out. But true spirituality leads to conversion. You don't hear that word much anymore. I always say, you know, when you become a Christian, it's not that Jesus just wants you to start being a better person. Jesus wants to transform you from the inside out. It's a conversion that happens. And this is something that true spirituality can facilitate. It's a conversion of the heart that weeds out selfishness and willfulness and gives us a willing spirit. A willing spirit is a spirit of surrender that opens our hearts and hands. Instead of grasping and taking like this, a willing spirit is receptive. Instead of possessing and controlling, it holds softly and gently and loosely. Instead of hoarding, it shares. Instead of controlling, it empowers. True spirituality is antithetical to authoritarianism, which is why authoritarian religion is always false religion. Again, a willing heart is open, and it's precisely this kind of openness that we need in order to access the spiritual world, in order to attend to the presence of God, which is the third gift that I want to talk about this morning. True spirituality helps us to relinquish a preoccupation with ourselves so that we can attend to the presence of God that is always already enveloping us. True spirituality helps us to let go of the past by giving us the gift of forgiveness. And it keeps us from worrying too much about the future by helping us to remember that God is ultimately in control and that we're going to be okay no matter what life throws at us. Why? Because God cares and takes care of you and I. And Jesus knew this when he said, as we read this morning, don't worry about your life. What you will eat and drink and wear on your body, isn't life bigger than these things? But seek first God's kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. Stop worrying, Jesus says. God's going to take care of you. And you know, following the lead of Jesus, those in 12-step recovery programs know how important it is to take life, how? One day at a time. True spirituality also sets us free from preoccupation with worldly success and what other people think about us by redefining our values and reminding us of what's most important in life, which is our relationships. It grounds our identity and our value in our relationship with God and doesn't tie it to things like how smart we are and how many expensive things that we own. And true spirituality gives us one of the greatest tools to attend to the presence of God: meditation. The only place that you can experience spiritual reality is in the present. And this is what meditation helps us to do: to put aside our preoccupations with the past and the future, to put aside our striving and our busyness, to put aside our preoccupation with what other people think and what do I have to do next, to put aside our distractions so that we can find ways to be fully present in the presence of God, to be present to the holy. Christian meditation is a form of prayer in which we sit in silence and very intentionally try to increase our awareness of the Spirit of God that is all around us all the time, in us, above us, below us, around us. We're literally swimming and breathing the Spirit of God. And meditation brings our attention back to that fact, so that we can rest in God's presence and peace and receive the gifts that he has to offer us. Meditation is a spiritual discipline insofar as we have to be intentional about setting time aside to actually do it. If we don't, it will vanish from our schedule. But it's a gift insofar as it helps us to relax into the presence of God and find the fulfillment and the peace and the serenity that all of us so desperately long for. Prayer as meditation is one powerful way that God gives us all the gifts that we've already talked about this morning, helping us to become more aware of the spiritual world, giving us a true spirit of surrender, and teaching us how to more deeply connect with God. And so this morning, in closing, I'm going to ask Mary Rose, as we did last week, to play a chime that will mark off a period of silence for us to meditate. And I want you to feel comfortable praying any way that is most helpful to you, but I would suggest something new this morning if you're a little adventurous and would like to experiment. And that is simply, for the next 2 minutes, and it's for those of you who don't meditate, it's going to feel like a long time, but we're only going to do this for 2 minutes. And what I want you to do is I want you to just try to become increasingly aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit that is saturating the reality that we are occupying right this moment.